Reggae Uprising with your host, Denise.
Greetings, Reggae Uprising podcast family, and welcome to another episode. If you are fresh and new to Reggae Uprising podcast, it is all about connecting the African diaspora through wisdom, overstanding, inspirational stories, all backed by a soundtrack of sweet reggae music. So each and every Wednesday, we feature a new guest who shares their works, wisdom, journey, inspirations, challenges, alongside seven reggae selections. If you are new to Reggae Uprising podcast, please make sure to subscribe wherever you are listening right now. Of course, the best place to subscribe, however, is via danielle.live. So that is danielle.live. That link is also in the description as well. For our regular listeners, thank you so much for all of your support, for sharing these works, for all of your comments. For those of you that aren't aware as well, we are also live via Spotify. And you can also drop your comments there because they have a special section there where you can answer our questions and also drop your comments as well. If you or somebody you know would like to feature on an up and coming episode, please get in touch via the contact page on danielle.live. So that again is www.danielle.live. Again, that link is in the description. And if you want to get in touch, please just go to the contact page. We have over 160 episodes within our Reggae Uprising podcast archive for you to listen to on a day that you might be feeling challenged, you just like some inspiration, or of course you just want some sweet reggae music to up your vibes. These include not only our guest interviews, but also special series, special episodes, special editions that uplift certain periods within our heritage, celebrate certain brothers and sisters, or delve deeper into wisdom that really needs to be shared. But that's enough about our archive. Let's get started with this week's guest first selection, which is Gappy Ranks' Stinkin' Rich.
Me a fi stinking rich this year. Paper money a cup of kind me no care. A fi make the money anytime anywhere. Me no take check but me make check clear. Raffy rich, stinking rich that me must turn. Big house a bill he na the hot sun. Swagger tight and me clothes them a custom. Nobody tell me say me can't cause me must turn. Rich, stinking rich that me must turn. But me na go sell me rafe in a lump sum. And me nah go soup below, me nah go suck none. Them fi know me rather bust gun. Cause me see me parents suffer with me and me sibling. Go to bed without no supper, not even a dumpling. Used to have only a dream about the money counting. Used to think about today and what tomorrow will bring. Searching.
Big up all the ghetto youths for us selling.
If you in a 9-5 and I just keep working. Me want money in a bank every day turning. Cash card in a wallet, money stack up on a pallet.
Me a fi stinking rich this year. Paper money a cup of kind in a fear. Have to make the money and anytime, anywhere. Me no take check, but me make check clear. Raffy rich, stinking rich that me must turn. Big house a bill he na the hot sun. Swagger tight and me clothes them a custom. Nobody tell me say me can't cause me must turn. Rich, stinking rich that me must turn. But me na go sell me rafe in a lump sum.
This week's guest is a fitness consultant, author, and owner of Root Core. I would like to welcome Sol. Greetings and welcome.
Greetings. Hello to you and the family.
Really appreciate you taking the time to share your works and obviously your life's journey alongside your selections. Speaking of which, can you tell us why you chose that first selection that we just heard?
Well, I actually went to school with Gappy Ranks, so I know him from a young age, and I've seen his career developed, and I've seen the work that he's put onto it, and I like this song because, know, this song motivates you to get on your grind. You know, sometimes you have to put in the work, and, you know, so I chose this song for that reason.
So as you know, this show is all about connecting the African diaspora through heritage. So please, can you share your heritage with all of us?
So I'm Eritrean. I was born in Eritrea, and I came here at the age of 11, just turned 11, and moved to an area where it was predominantly Jamaicans. So I've got that experience as well, and being in London, I've got that experience. So I'm a bit of a mixture of a few different cultures. So that's where I would put myself in.
For those listeners that don't know what injera is, can you explain what that is for them?
So injera is it's bread like. We use that to eat with everything.
So going back to your parents, can you tell us a bit more about them? Obviously, they're part of your heritage story. So what kind of works did they do? What did they choose to do in life?
Both of them started in the village, and my father moved to the city. He quickly educated himself, and he just excelled in his education. He ended up being a vet, and he was in charge of safety of animals and human consumption. And yeah, that's just one of the many things he did, but that's where he ended up. And he came to Europe to study at some point in his life. And I guess that's why he decided he wanted his children to learn in Europe as well. My mom comes from a very strong family. She's a dedicated housewife. She raised us all very principled, strong, spiritual, and kept us in line. Basically, that was her job, was to make sure she raised us all.
And are you aware at all of their love story? So how they actually met?
It's actually an arranged marriage. And the story goes that my grandparents arranged it between them. And basically my father was told you will be married at this time. And my father didn't know who she was, where she's from. But he was too nervous to ask his father because of the culture and the respect. And he was nervous for many times, and he tells us that at one point he mustered the courage to ask his father who this woman is. And my grandfather did not take that well, because his mentality is like, I chose for you, so you're questioning my choice. And he got upset, and he didn't ask him that question again. So it was an arranged marriage. But I, being one of the youngest child, got to sit towards the end where they were living as one. And so I imagine there was a struggle, but in the end, they came together as one. So that's the love story for me. It's not the beginning. It's more the end.
Right. So did they ever share with you that first meeting?
With the culture, the way it works is when a man and a woman from two villages marry, the woman's expected to leave her village and go to live to the man's village. So after they marry, she don't immediately come to his village. He's got a couple of years to set himself up now as a married man for him to receive his wife. But my father, he was more ambitious. I guess he decided to go into the city. And he tried many things at the beginning along his studies. And they talk more about the hardship rather than their own interaction. I guess once they were together, it was set. There was no option of, you know what I mean? Like, do I go away, or do I have this, or how does this feel? It's how do we make this work now, kind of thing. So they don't really share a lot about their own personal interaction, but talk about the life, how it was, and the hardship as well, because you have to remember the country was at war. So there was a lot going on politically and in the big picture.
So in the time of their union and then subsequently, you know, you and your siblings coming along, what was actually going on in that country at that time? Just so you can give our listeners, you know, the foundation of where we're coming from in your story, in your journey.
So to give you a picture, literally a couple of months after I left the country, the government collapsed. So the decade I lived there, it was leading up to the collapse of the country. So it was very chaotic time. But for me, being a child, there was a culture of you don't let the children know anything because children speak. And then there are stories where a child may say something and then the soldiers come and take the whole family. So it was a case of keeping the children away from the information. So even though there was a lot going on, I was a lot oblivious to the situation because the information was kept from me. But every now and then you hear a bit here, a bit there, and if you try to speak, you'll be told straight away, no, you don't speak like this. So that's the kind of culture that I grew up in. That it was like when I was there.
We're going to move on to your next selection, which is Damian Marley, Speak Life. Why did you choose this selection?
Damian Marley is a great artist. I like most of his songs. I like the way he sounds, his lyrics. I think he's the best of the Bob Marley children. You know, and his reach, his lyrics, his abilities, just for me, I think he's a great artist. And for me, this song, Speak Life, just encapsulates everything about life. It's a well-rounded song. It's very inspiring, humbling, you know, and it's on my playlist. Every time I need it to just bring myself down and, you know, enjoy the little things and be in the righteous kind of path. I tend to listen to this song, and that's why I like this song.
Here we go with Damian Marley, Speak Life.
I pray thee once again. I wonder if it's surrounded by ones of such talent. You know? Speak Life. Live a humble and meek life. Ordinary day of the week life. Try to search and seek life. Way up. Keep your head up and stay up. Even when you're sore and pain up. Never giving up till it's game up. Keep your aim up and focus. Don't concentrate on what's bogus. Never sell out for a bonus. Handle your biz like grown-ups. Own up, it's amazing. Your fire keeps blazing. That's why you're constantly praising. For some of them it's a face thing. So they're gazing on the street lights. Till them go catch up in street fights. Cause I'm pretending they're street wise.
Now, you've already shared with us your heritage and you've given us little bits of insight into you moving to the UK. Can you tell us more about that story?
First thing I noticed is the fruits. Funnily enough, fruits and veg. The size was just crazy compared to what I'm used to, you know. That's the first thing I noticed. The children and the uniform was different to ours, and big city, very busy, lots of different cultures, you know, not used to seeing so many different cultures and so many different faces. This was the first thing I noticed when I got here. Going to the school system, yeah, school system was, like I said, slightly different. One thing I noticed was the discipline. You know, back home, the discipline was different. Obviously, they will beat us up if they need to. Here, it felt like the children had the power and the children could say anything they want. So that was the few differences I noticed when I first got here.
And how was that for you, learning the language in a whole new country, kind of being thrown into the deep end? You know, you're kind of getting to that age now, you know, going into secondary school. It's hard enough for, you know, people that have grown up within the country, that a specific country, going into secondary school. How was that with you, with the adage of learning a whole new language and all the do's and don'ts of what you should and shouldn't do, and meeting all these people that didn't look at how people looked to you in your whole life's journey so far?
So my father used to teach me English from back home. So I had the basics already. And then coming in here and being the age I was at, I was actually just speaking it, learning it. The children around me were teaching me. Sometimes they laugh at me when I make mistakes. They didn't bother me because I was just eager to learn. So I picked it up within a few months, you know. I even started, like, picking up a little patois accent, you know. And, so it was very easy for me, I would say. There was no embarrassment. I was just hungry to learn and hungry to assimilate, I guess, to learn the way of life here. So within a few months, I was already speaking the language. I was already running around doing what everyone else was doing.
And did you ever experience any kind of racism when you were at school?
No, because my school was majority black and Asian. So I didn't express it. And there was no racism that I could say I experienced. Maybe later on in life, at university, in college. But not in school, no.
Okay, so before we delve deeper into that, we're going to go with another one of your selections, which is Etana, I'm Not Afraid. Why did you choose this selection?
Yeah, I love her voice. I think her voice is beautiful. I like the flow of the music. I like the way she sings. I feel she's very inspiring with her lyrics, very empowering. And, you know, this specific song, you know, it's about, you know, facing life struggle, but from a position of power, you know. They say fear is a mind killer, and just not being afraid and going with it, you know.
Here we go with Etana, I'm Not Afraid.
I see them coming after my soul, wanting to take control. Wanna give me lots, wanna give me bling, wanna give me all the material things. I hear them talking about what the world has to offer. Girl, what you doing, don't you see? What they have done to Bedouin and Marcus, Jesus and all of the prophets. But come, cause I'm protected by the Most High One. They don't mind when you fall behind and can't pay your bills on time. Prostituting and standing in a them government line. No, and they don't mind when you waste your time coming up with some stupid lines, influencing the youth, them for snort a line and take a life. And they don't mind when you're locked up in jail, can't get no bail, sentence for life. I can't see your youth them strive. No, they don't mind.
So we're going to delve a little bit deeper. You said that you didn't really experience any racism at school and that you were just hungry to learn. And it sounds like you had quite a positive experience of school because you just wanted to get to know the culture, get to know the people, get to know the language, and you had an amount of support from your siblings as well. So can you tell us more of your experiences through college, through university, the challenges that you faced, and then your first experiences of maybe racism within maybe those institutions or maybe outside of those institutions?
So the first time I say I faced real racism, systematic, would be at university. By the time I wasn't, in hindsight I could see it now, but at the time I wasn't even sure. There was a lot of effort made to make sure I failed. I was actually involved with a Pan-African group at the time, and that might have something to do with it, I'm not sure, but there was the efforts made to downgrade me, and I had to literally fight through the system and have a lot of confrontation with some of my teachers in order to get out of that situation. It is what it is, I guess. That's how things work sometimes. But I was really fighting blind at the time because I wasn't seeing the games that were being played behind my back. I was just seeing it from only my point of view, from what's in front of me. But looking back, yeah, I could see how things were playing out.
And we haven't even touched on what you were studying. Can you tell us what you were studying and why you chose that path?
One of my loves from a young age has always been sports. I've always been involved in sports activities and stuff like that. That's what I enjoy. And played a lot of competitive sports, basketball, football, cross-country runs and all of that. And I was competing on every level at a young age till I started getting injuries and started with my shoulder dislocating, my right shoulder, and I was going back and forth to the doctors with that. But I didn't want to stop that side of my life because that was really what I did. So I continued with my sport, and then my left shoulder started dislocating after a while. And but I still didn't stop with my sports, you know. And then a while later, got injured in my knee. Then my ankles went, and it became my whole body started to break down. Spent a lot of time going back and forth in hospitals. Had 3 operations on my right shoulder. But for me, I had one question, and that was why. Why is this happening to me? And everyone that I ask, you know, at every level of the medical, I'd ask doctors, anyone that I was involved in, they didn't answer that question, you know. After the 3 operation in my shoulder, took over a period of 5 years, and then they wanted to move to my left shoulder, I decided enough is enough. There must be a better way. But alongside that, I've always been curious about the body, how the body works. So that's the second love of my life, is just learning about the body. So it started in, really started in GCSE, and I did GCSE PE. We started to study the bones, the muscles, and how we move and all of that. And so I continued that in A-level, where I studied human biology, psychology, did a bit of PE A-levels as well. And then I continued that with studying sports science, fitness and health at university. So I used my studies to build my body back up myself. Stop going to the doctors, just using my knowledge and what I studied. I heal myself. I'm in a much better situation right now. And then alongside that, you know, now that I had the advice, I knew what to do, I started giving the advice to people. I'd tell people, no, you should try this, you should try that. The first time I really helped someone was one of my managers that I used to work at when I was at university. He had a groin injury from football. And because he had this insurance, they were going to take him to Germany and operate on him. And I was just telling him, listen, you know, don't operate on him. There's other ways to do it. So after I nagged him for a while, he said he'll give me a chance. And I went to work on it, just gave him a few exercises and stuff to do to rebuild the area of his body. And it actually worked. And he saved him from the operation. And so from there, just carried on giving advice to people. And I kept getting good results. So then I decided this message needs to go out, and more people need to hear it. And then ended up writing the book, which is called Drivers, Help Yourself. Basically, it's a message to just take control of your body and fix all the problems that need to be fixed, you know? It was specific for drivers. Because drivers face certain kind of unique kind of problems physically because of the job they do. So just giving advice on why they're facing the problem they're facing and how to counter it to save themselves from those issues related to it, like back problems, neck problems they get, knee problems, stuff like that.
And if we've got, I'm sure we've got loads of drivers out there. If they want to, you know, attain this knowledge that's in your book, whereabouts would they find it? Where would they purchase this book? What would they look for?
They just need to Google Drivers Help Yourself Against Repetitive Strain Injury. And they could find it anywhere from Amazon to literally. It's available everywhere.
We're also going to leave that link in the description to make it extra easy for you to find as well. Before we go any further, though, we need to put in another one of your selections, which is Bob Marley, Forever Loving Ja. Why did you choose this selection, please?
So, yeah, Bob Marley, probably my favourite artist. He's more than an artist to me, you know. I could speak about him all day. His influence is everything. I could really have chosen any of his songs as well, but I chose this one specifically because for me this song is about staying true to the Most High. You know, life is about ups and downs, and that will happen, but our relationship with the Most High does not go up and down. It should always stay the same. So, you know, forever love each other.
Your journey into, you know, the works, firstly trying to help yourself with the ailments that you've had experienced through the different sports that you've done, and then the start of your journey into helping other people, talking about, you know, in terms of your work colleague, and then creating your own book. Can you go a little bit deeper for us into these works of helping other people on the knowledge that you've attained yourself?
Sure. So just to give clarity, chronic pain is a pain that lasts beyond its natural healing time. You know, so whenever we have issues, physical issues, all of them have their time limit where the body naturally heals itself. But sometimes for different reasons, the body does not naturally heal itself. And that's where we get chronic pain. Stats are telling us that 34% just from the UK suffer from chronic pain. And so what are people doing about it? You know, and it's more of the unseen, unheard of kind of epidemic that's going on in our community and basically in our society. So what I do is to counter that. How do we counter this problem that we're having? The first thing that we need to do, obviously, is we need to like create an awareness. You know, a lot of people would have be just carrying neck pain or my shoulder hurts, but just carry on with life, or my knee hurts, or let me just carry on with life, you know. And they wait until it gets to the point where the pain is too much. Or now I can't sleep with it. Oh, I'm walking, it's hurting me all the time. Now the pain has reached a certain level of that you can't do your normal life, you know? So then what do? You go to the doctors, you see the doctors. Most of the time they're prescribing you painkillers, which doesn't really solve the problem. It just makes things, it just hides it from you. So this is then obviously literally it could end up with you having to have an operation. So this is the epidemic that I deal with, and I've been dealing with this for many years now, like I said. And if we understood how our body works, how our physical body works, and we work alongside with it and take care of it, it will give us back, you know? But if we don't take care of it and we carry on and be oblivious to the warnings that we get from our body, and then that's how we end up with long-term problems. And also the stats are telling us now that more people are becoming disabled than are born disabled. And this is due to this kind of problems. You know, people are walking around with back pain, the neck pain, shoulder pain, knee pain, just not doing anything about it. And this is where we come in to teach and also to give you options of how to take care of your body better.
So with these options, how have you assimilated that into the works that you do now?
At the moment, I think it's best to work one-to-one because of the risks that are associated with it. If you do things the wrong way, then you're more likely to hurt yourself and cause yourself even more issues. So as the book itself gives you the outline around what is going on and the big gate to understand your body better and show you the way to solve most of the problems. But in reality, it is best if it is a one-to-one at the moment. So that's how I prefer to work. So you come over, we have a conversation about your body. We see where you're at. We see where the weakness is. We examine where the strength is. And then we connect all of that together with your lifestyle. And then we do a tailored program for you specifically. So things like, a lot of people think that when it comes to exercise, that they have to go in the gym, they have to go on a treadmill, they have to sweat it out, they have to, you know, pull up these big weights and things like that. But it's not really. You know, if you want to go that direction, that's fine. But that's not what your body needs. What your body needs is a bit of flexibility, a bit of strength daily. And make sure there's a rich supply of blood running around your body. And if you could do that, you're more likely to have a healthier body. And that's the message. And it's all about delivering that. And any long-term injuries that's there, sitting around, you have to address it. And if you don't address it, it's just going to get worse. That's where we're at.
So we're definitely going to delve a little bit deeper with Root Core, but we need to put another selection on right now, which is Marlon Asher, Ganja Farmer. Why did you choose this selection, please?
Well, you know, we have to big up the ganja farmers. It's not easy work.
Here we go with Marlon Asher, Ganja Farmer.
I'm a ganja planter, call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth, we may put the ganja. Babylon, come and light it at a fire, me a chant.
Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the air to me put me ganja. Babylon come. Big stinking helicopter flow through the air. With them call it weed eater. Them never did it when me was out in water. Or when me did them blind fertilizer. Yet out of the sky them spitting fire. And I'm a little youth man with a hot temper. Me dig up me stinking rocket launcher. And in all the air this buzz the helicopter me a chant. Some a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth we me put the ganja. Babylon come a lot in a tar fire me a chant. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth we me put the ganja. Babylon come. Yeah, true no man. True Jaja bless I with no for good vibes man. And true me of the hardest set a ganja in a the land. Make doctors get no meditation. And so them coulda give it to them sick patient. Make chemists get no meditation. And so them coulda brew new medication. Make singers get some inspiration. And so them coulda spread your message bandila me a chant. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth we may put the ganja. Babylon come a light it at a fire me a chant. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer.
Now you've explained as to why your works are so necessary. You've told us a little bit about the different services you offer in terms of the book and then the one-to-one sessions. Is there anything further you'd like to tell us about Root Core and what makes your works different from what other people are offering in terms of healing the body?
Okay, so at Root Core we have a few principles. Our number one principle is about getting to the root of the problem. There's a lot of, like you said, healers out here. They will heal you, they'll make you feel better, and it might be for a few months. But if you don't address the core root issue of your problem, then if that problem is going to keep coming back. You know, so the first thing we ask is why. Why do you have the issues you have? Why do you have the problems that you have? And get down and actually find out why. It could be your lifestyle, it could be the work you do or work you don't do. It could be the way you do certain things that's causing you the issue. If we don't know why, and you come with the problem and we help you with the problem, and then you go back and you're doing the same thing, guess what? You're going to have the same results. So now you're in a vicious cycle of having the problem, going, get it solved where you think you got it solved, and then you're back at it again. So, you know, why is a very important question before we even start the work. And the second part is where. It's not always where the pain is, where the main problem is. You have to identify exactly where the main problem is. Once you identify these things, then we can start the work at dealing with the root of the problem. So to give you an everlasting solution to your particular problem. And another principle that we have is that everybody is different. There's no one size fits all here, because not everybody works the same way. And what you do to your body is basically what it gives back to you. So every movement you do in your life or you don't do will affect your body. And that's the reason your body is the way it is. So we will treat every single body differently, you know, as a unique experience, a unique strength, a unique weaknesses. A lot of people just tend to lump in the weights, you know, and a lot of people think that, oh, that person is doing that, so I can do it. So say this person is lifting 40 kg, why can't I? Well, that's not your level. You shouldn't look at that person and think, that person can do it, I can do it. You should always look at yourself and say, where is my body at? Is my body at the level of where I can lift 40 kg? Or is the body, is my body at the level of where I can lift 20 kg? And then if 20 kg is where I'm at, and that's what I should be dealing with. But if I do 40 kg, that's where I'll end up hurting myself. But by using the 20 kg and building myself up over a period of time, I will be able to lift that 40 kg. Do you know what I mean? So approach everybody as unique. Look at it differently and treat it as unique as well. That's the second principle. And the other principle that we have is we treat the body as one. We look at the body as a whole. A lot of people like to divide the body, my shoulders, or it's my neck. But we understand that if you've got problems with your shoulder, it's probably going to lead to your neck problems. If you've got hip problems, it's going to probably lead to your knee problems. So it's like a domino effect where one part of your body breaks down, leads to another part of your body break down, and then leads to another part. So we don't look at the body as parts. We look at it as a whole. So when it comes to feeling it, to fixing it, to healing the body, we approach it like that as well. We're trying to fix the whole body. But if that means that the shoulder part of your body is right now the weakest part, and putting pressure will fix the shoulder, but in accordance to how it fits in with the whole body. So this is the kind of principles that we come with, and this is how we work, and this is how we want people to think about themselves, about when it comes to their physical body, because we need our body to carry us. And it's only when your body starts to go, you realize how important your body is. And I'm dealing with people with back problems, knee problems, and stuff like that, and you know, the daily pains they go to. You know, just things we take for granted, just walking up the stairs and that. If you've got these issues, the stairs are not looking, they're looking like mountains, you know? They're looking like impossible tasks because you have bad knee. So this is where we're coming from.
Can you give us any examples of parts of the body that people don't realise are interconnected in terms of maybe the root or cause of a certain pain? Have you got an example of that?
Oh, yeah, I have many examples. So one example that I come across a lot is a lot of people get headaches, and they think that they got a problem with their head, and they take their paracetamol or whatever. But majority of the headache is coming from the imbalance or weakness in the upper back or your shoulders and the neck muscles. When they get weak, so just to give a bit of context, yeah, the skull is one of the heaviest and most dense bone in our body. But the muscles around the neck are not very strong, but they still have to carry the skull upright. Now, if they get compromised, they become weak, and then they start to affect the upper back, and certain muscles around our upper back get weak, and then this leads to headaches. And a lot of people get headaches because of the bad neck, and people don't realize that the headache is because of the neck. So this is one example. I've had a client which she had the IT band around her thighs were tight, and because they were tight, they were pulling on her knees a little bit, not a lot, a little bit, but on a daily basis they started causing problem over a period of time to her knee. And everyone would look at it and say, oh, she's got a problem with her knee. And it's true, she had a problem with her knee, but the cause of that pain to the knee was coming from the IT band. So then we had to look and we had to fix the IP, the band first and make sure it's flexible stretch. It's not pulling on the knee. Release the knee and then re-strengthen the knee again. So there's many examples of where this happens around the body. You get problems around your hips. Sometimes nerves get trapped going to your knee and then you're feeling it on your knee. That's what I said. We have to treat the body as one because everything is connected. Everything is supported by everything. If your shoulder, if you have a problem in your shoulder and the shoulder drops, your other muscles around the shoulder will come to support it. And now they're out of place and they're doing a job they're not supposed to do. So over time, they get strained now. They start to break down and they break down. Some other muscles come to support them. So the body is one.
We're going to move on to another one of your selections, which is Jimmy Cliff, Harder They Come. Can you please tell us why you chose this selection?
Again, someone I've been listening to from a young age. He's got many great songs. For me, this song inspires me, you know, when you're facing life obstacles. Sometimes they feel like they're too much for you to handle and that. You know, this song just gives you the energy to keep fighting.
Here we go with Jimmy Cliff, The Harder They Come.
Will they tell me off up high up in the sky?
Are there any things becoming more profound within the work that you do, maybe because of the world that we live in, or maybe certain age groups?
Yeah, so there are many issues. One of the biggest that I keep hearing over and over is nerve traps around the shoulder, around the neck, and just the pain goes all the way down your shoulder, your elbow, and all the way down to your finger. This is happening a lot now, especially with the use of the mobile phones and the way people's head position is when they're watching, when they're on their mobile phone. So that's the result of that lot of nerve traps. And which is funny because this is normally, as you get older, you're supposed to get, but I'm starting to see it in more younger and younger people. We have the sciatica as well, something that is we're always dealing with because people are usually sitting down a lot and not moving their body, not being flexible, soft beds, soft couches, and stuff like that. It just lead to it. So we're getting a lot of sciatica issues. But one that is not very spoken about, but I seem to find it in everyone, is something called muscle knots. Not sure if people are aware of it, but it's just when your muscle knots up and it dries up, and then if you press on it, it feels like a needle, and it's very painful. But these muscle knots are very dangerous because they starve the whatever area they're at. Usually they like to come around joints, and they starve the area of oxygen, and they start to destroy those muscles around it, and we keep finding them a lot more than we expect to. This is supposed to be normal with old age, but again, finding them with younger and younger people. And this is one of those things where if you don't, because they're deep in the tissue, if you don't press down hard enough, you won't even know they're there until the problem gets so bad that you can't live without it. You know, it's just pain all the time. So, yeah, so people, just get yourself checked. You know, when you get your massages, make sure you get proper massages. Deep tissue massages will find these things. But if not, they could be around your knee, and you could be putting a lot of pressure on your knee, and you could be getting knee pain, and you don't even know that this is what's causing the problems around your knee. So there's a lot of issues, but you can solve all of that if you take care of your body better, and if you do the right things by your body. Your body is incredible, and its abilities, you know, it's from the Most High, so it's exceptional. We just need to take care of it better.
So specifically, you speaking about those pressure knots, is there anything that people can do to prevent that happening?
You can prevent all of that happening by keeping your body in the right place. Your fitness level, your strength level, and your flexibility. With me, the majority of my work is flexibility and strength work. It's like building the body. Where part of the body is weak, we build it, we give it strength. Part of your body that you use a lot, we make sure that body, that part, that those muscles are strong so they can withstand what you're putting them through. Flexibility is another one that we use a lot, and it's so very important because muscles are elastic, and the more they're flexible, the better it is for your movement. And also when they're flexible, they allow blood to come in between the muscles and flow around the muscles, and blood brings in all the good stuff and take away all the bad stuff, so it cleans up the system better. And it's very disheartening for me because flexibility is something that is not giving credit in our society. It's like everyone I speak to, from the youngest to the oldest, nobody takes flexibility very seriously, and it's so important for our health of our body. And it kind of actually makes me sad, the fact that people are not aware of this.
So in terms of somebody coming to work with you with their issues that they're going through at that specific time, they would obviously have a consultation first, and obviously each one of your clients is an individual, and you know, it would be a bespoke treatment that they'd be receiving. But what would they kind of expect from a session with you? What are the kind of strategies that you might implement in different cases?
Obviously, when they come, we'll have consultation, we'll have a look at their body, we'll have a good conversation to see their background of how they use their body. Once we discover all the weaknesses, where the weaknesses are and where the strength is, then what I would do is I will design a specific training program. And when I say training, is something where you're going to jogging, be jogging or going crazy. It's just something like that takes maybe 20 minutes. That's what we aim for. 20 minutes, maximum half an hour, that you can do either in the morning or in the evening. So it's something that you make part of your life. And then we'll start early, we'll check the muscles, we'll test the muscles with a few exercises, how to see how they respond. And depending on that, then we'll readjust the program. And we carry on like that, building the body up until the body is in a great shape. And then from there, you would have learned where your weaknesses are, why you have weaknesses, and then you would have gone through the whole program of how to strengthen yourself, and you've got skills for life now. You don't have to come back again.
And where can our listeners check out your works and obviously connect with you as well?
So we have our website, rootcore.uk. We also have a phone number that they can ring us on. So the number is 07-934-452-163.
That number will also be in the description alongside the website address and obviously alongside the link also for that book that was mentioned earlier on in the interview. Is there anything that you would like to leave our listeners with in terms of things that they should implement in their life in order to make it less likely that they're going to have these different weaknesses in the body?
The importance of listening to our body. Our body communicates with us all the time, but we've learned to be ignorant and we don't listen. We just power through, oh, I'm not going to listen. So always take time to listen to your body. You know, I always say every now and then, you know, get onto the floor and sit on the floor, lay down, stretch your leg one way, stretch your arm the other way, and just feel your body. And if that feels a bit tight, if it feels painful, now you know where your weakness is, you know. And obviously, like I said about flexibility, taking a little 20 minutes exercise. You know, a lot of people like to walk, and it's great to walk. But it's more greater after you walk if you end it with stretches. Stretch your body, make sure your body's not tight. I'm not going to get into the healthy food and all of that. We do a bit of that as well. But we're mainly focused on the body and strengthening the body. Take good care of your body. You need your body.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your time, your wisdom, and of course, your works with all of our listeners. So your final selection is C Rhymes S.U.B featuring Aishant Kush, Devil Works Hard. Why did you choose this final selection, please?
So yeah, C Rhymes, lyrically gifted guy, amazing voice, catalogs of songs that... I really enjoy listening, especially his wordplay with the English language. He's on another level. Always listening to him. Especially this song, like, I don't know if you noticed my theme. It's all about praising the Most High. And, you know, this song is about that. You know, the devil will work hard, you know. But we need to work harder. And we must make sure we always pray to the Father.
Thank you so much for sharing your time, your journey, your energy, of course, and those selections as well.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to connect with this week's guest, their links are in the description. If you would like to connect with Reggae Uprising Podcast, please go to danielle.live. So that's danielle.live. That link is also in the description as well. If you haven't already subscribed to Reggae Uprising Podcast, please do so wherever you are listening. Make sure to leave your comments there as well. And obviously, share these works, share this wisdom, and share these high vibrations. So, speaking of high vibrations, we are going to leave you with some high vibrations from C Rhymes S.U.B. featuring Aishant Kush, Devil Works Hard. We hope you have a wonderful week. Make sure you're back here next Wednesday for a fresh and new episode. Until then, and as always, blessed love.
Yeah! Rastafari, the prophet, the priest, and the king. Devil works hard, but not hard enough. They say I'm black like Judas.
Black like Judas.
I said I'm black like Christ.
Black like Christ.
You make a choice. By your voice, you tell me who you wanna be like. We can raise before we die. Tell us the I. Tell him if I lie, that's right. We are Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Stephen Biko. But the devil's got us in the park with Dark and Pellico. Cooking, cracking, presidential or black presidential. There no limits to our potential. It's the wrong rights, them right wrongs. Freedom's what I'm writing on. There's no other level that your life is on. Or like a stolen Rolex, one sec, your time is gone. Tray on, tray on. Cause the devil is a python. He always keeps his bite on. Keep right on, keep trading. Jaws on the horizon.
Devil works hard.
For us to work hard.
For us to work hard. Father, can't help but don't and mother. Nothing but love and laughter. The devil work hard. Yeah, yeah. For us to work harder. We praise the Father. Can't see we pop down and mother. Can't see the wrath on the barber. I have to touch the street to find food to eat. Feed my family. Make two ends meet. Mama shed tears. We make it through the week. And when she make it, only Jah on how she treat. No on the damn corner. This ain't no damn drama. You see them informer. We call the cops on ya. To lock you up for the marijuana. Hurry for the gun thing, well you know your life is a damn gunner. This ain't no living, yo. I ain't lying shit. No for your family, ain't no for them to switch on you. Like a transformer, piss on you. We tell the rich and come back round, no try to itch on you. No we not J.A. from a day. No feud can't get no work, get good day. Hey man, I fight for surviving. It's hard in this time, but life is a cycle, we say. The devil work hard.
The devil works hard.
For us to work
harder.
We praise the Father. Can't see we pop down and mother. Nothing but love and laughter. The devil work hard, yeah.
For us to work harder.
We praise the Father. Can't see we pop down and mother. Can't see the rocks and the barber.
Many minds, one dream, one blood, one movement to rise out the mud. Living it forever, whatever the weather, umbrella.
I said the devil work hard, for us to work harder.
For us to work harder.
We pop down and mother.
Never.
Nothing but love and laughter. Yeah, the devil work hard, you know. Yeah, for us to work harder. We praise the Father. Yeah, so we pop down and mother. Nothing but love and laughter.